2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to hour number two, and as always, the final one for another week of KSL Outdoors Radio. It's great to have you with us, Tim, along with Russ Smith from SkyCall over there. We're going to be checking in with a couple of your guys. Greg's taking a sat phone with him, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Greg Paul's headed back out for another climb. I don't think he's done it in a while, has he?
It's been a couple of years since he's been over in that part of the world.
Just has the desire to get back there to Kathmandu somewhere. So we'll look forward to that conversation, find out more about his plans. Navidauskas also here with us again.
Good morning. Good to be here, Tim.
We just finished talking about Fish Bites, talking about community fisheries and how great it is to fish in the fall, particularly in the month of October in Utah. We thought we'd talk more about that. Randy Opplinger is the sport fish coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources and joins us now on the news line. Randy, how are things?
Hey, not too bad. How you doing?
Good. We were just reminding everybody before we went to ABC News at the top of the hour about how handy it is to be able to go to the website and access the stocking reports and know exactly what's gone into particular fisheries and when they've been put in there. And you guys have been busy lately putting a lot of fish in.
No, it's very true. Yeah, you see the stocking information online, as you pointed out, which I think is very convenient for a lot of people. But this is a big time of year for us to stock. I think our big two kind of pushes for when we stock fish are sort of in the spring, so kind of May, June, that kind of time frame. And then we take a little break during the summer, particularly with our trout stocking, because it's a little warm for them. And then come the fall, temperatures are perfect again, and we get back at it, start putting more fish out again.
Navi brought that point up in Fish Bites that, you know, you're working on the survivability of these fish. And, Navi, you were mentioning that the summer temps make it tough, particularly on rainbow trout.
Yeah, well, all trout, they need that temperature. You know, 45 to 55 is optimum. So you're starting to get it now.
Yeah, and you probably feel like, we talk about this on the Greenhouse Show, which, by the way, is coming up in about an hour here on KSL. We talk about how nurseries are doing more selling of their product in the fall now because people find if they plant in the fall, speaking of trees and shrubs, you get almost an extra full year of growth out of them by the time spring comes around. Is that true with the fish, too?
Yeah, I think it is true to some extent. You know, we get them in this kind of year, the fall, and a lot of fish are able to grow a little bit, and then they're a little bit bigger come the summer. So I would say, you know, if we put a trout out, you know, say at 10 inches, which is a pretty common stocking size right now, and probably come next May, June, when people kind of really get back to fishing again, that fish is probably 12 inches, 13 inches, something like that.
You know, I've heard recently that policies have changed a bit. They're having better success by putting larger fish in the stocking, and they seem to have a better return on their investment. Is that accurate?
No, that is accurate. Yeah, we've been tracking some research coming out of other states, particularly Idaho, where they've made a switch from stocking a lot of 10-inch fish to stocking 12-inch fish. And what they see is they see much better return to anglers when they go with the 12-inch fish. And it doesn't apply to all waters. It seems to kind of depend a little bit on the situation. But it's something we're following the research, and it's something we're starting to test out a little bit more because it's something we want to provide the best experience possible for our angling public. And, you know, we see this as an opportunity just to grow the fish 2 more inches and you get better returns and better angler satisfaction. So we see that being a good thing.
We made a push for community fisheries on our Fish Bites in the last half hour. I'm sure you want to echo that as a great opportunity for families that don't have to go far from home, and they're going to be well stocked, and the fishing ought to be fast and furious for kids of all ages, really. Children of all ages.
Yeah.
No, it's true. It's a great time in our community fisheries. We're stocking them pretty hard right now. And, you know, you kind of hit the point where these fisheries are just so close to home, so it's easy for you to get to. It's easy to do just a little afternoon family trip or whatever and get everybody out there and fish. And, you know, a lot of these community fisheries are also in places where there's parks and that kind of thing. So if you have really young kids, for example, who just, you know, aren't into fishing yet, fishing, and some of the other ones could play on the playground equipment and other things while they're there. And, you know, even if you have, you know, don't like walking around very much, a lot of these have great trails around them, and it's just easy to get to the water, and the fishing's great this time of year at the community waters.
Yeah. Last hour I was saying, you know, it's a great time, and there are other times during the year, the early or late winter, early spring, when things like a bobber and a worm that I used to do with my grandpa seem to be the food of choice or the tactic of choice. This is one of those times of year when you can take kids out, and maybe you as a fisherman just want to sit back and relax and wait for that bobber to move. It's a great time to be doing that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a great time for it. And these community waters, we're putting rainbow trout in there, and rainbow trout are just a great species that take just about anything. But, you know, if you like fishing with a bobber and a worm, they're a species that picks up very readily.
Yeah. I'm going to let you and Navi just chat back and forth for a minute about the reasons why this is such a great time to fish. Navi, you mentioned it, that these fish are triggered instinctively to know that they need to be storing up because the water's starting to get cooler.
Right. They're putting on their fat stores to get through the winter. But more importantly, this is when they're more vibrant. It's become the case in Utah that trout, for instance, they're just surviving the summers. They're just finding a place under another bank or in a log to hang out because they really aren't coping well with the temps. And this is the kind of temperature that they like. If you're not at altitude, you know, the lower levels, this is the kind of time you want to go fishing for the fish basically at our altitude because the temperatures are perfect. And the same with the spring. The problem we face with the spring is the rising water. Obviously, the rivers aren't going to be fishable at some level once the runoff happens, but there's no runoff in the fall, and so the rivers are perfect and the lakes are perfect because the water gets stratified at different temperatures throughout the lake, and so the fish congregate at the temp that they like the most. You agree to that?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that, and I think what I'm going to add to that is that one thing we track as fish biologists a lot is the condition of the fish, and what we mean by condition is basically how heavy the fish is relative to the length of the fish. And what we know is going through the winter months, the better the condition a fish is when it enters the winter, the better its chances are of surviving the winter. And, you know, we see kind of the summer months, it's just too hot for the fish, and they don't feed as aggressively, and oftentimes fish lose a little bit of condition during the summer months. And then you kind of get to the fall, the temperatures drop a little bit, and it's really, you know, back to perfect for fish. And they're really kind of gorging themselves right now just to put on that weight to get their condition up so they can enter the winter as just healthy as possible so they can make it through the winter to the next spring.
Tell our listening audience the plans for the stocking. What lakes do we want to go to? Where are they going to put fish, and where have they put fish recently?
Well, you know, honestly, our community fisheries, I think all of them receive fish this time of year, right? We're talking about all of them probably continue receiving fish for the next few weeks or so before we start shutting down a little bit just because winter months are coming. But our community fisheries, we stock at all of them, and they get stocked fairly regularly every couple of weeks or so. So I expect really all of them to probably get another stocking or two before kind of November, December start rolling around and, you know, things start icing up a little bit.
You don't necessarily need a sunny day to do it. Navodomskis famously always says, look, the fish are already wet. So you might as long as you're dressed proper for it, get out there. But we had snow midweek at Parley's Canyon, or up the top of Parley's, I think on Wednesday of this past week. So people need to keep that in mind if they're going to go out this time of year, too.
No, they do keep that in mind. You know, obviously, they're important for us, you know, in terms of just being safe.
You know what? We are losing you for some reason on the call, and I apologize, Randy, but we're going to have to wrap it up there. Don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. All good points. We appreciate Randy Opplinger, our sport fish coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources, joining us. Faith Jolly in the news release she sent me says, so rather than just dress up as an angler for Halloween, bust out that fishing pole and enjoy a day at the lake with the family. It's kind of a great idea. And you can do a little trick or treat. And the treat is you might get to take one or two of those rainbows home and have a nice trout dinner.
Well, plus the snacks you bring. Come on, the snacks while you're fishing are awesome.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the ponds I've been to have boardwalks, sidewalks around the pond. Most of them have an area for handicap fishing.
Yeah, it's like he said, really convenient. It's, you know, you can get out there and fish them hard like an angler, but they're mostly just get a chair and kick back and relax and not work.
All right, we need to take another break. Let's do that. We'll come back. We'll have more of KSL Outdoors in just a minute. So stay with us.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back again with more of KSL Outdoors Radio here. And a reminder, I'll be sitting in this morning with Todd Bennis. It's a reunion of sorts. it will be an abbreviated version of the Greenhouse as we lead you up to the first session of General Conference for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So after the news at the top of the hour, we'll be with you till about 9:30 or so, and then we'll get a full report on what's happening downtown and a little preview of what's coming up on General Conference. Anytime I talk about, you know, drives in Utah, I always enlist the map guy. That's Russ, who actually, this is a passion of yours since you were a little guy, isn't it?
Maps? Oh, man. I wish I had all my maps. Topo maps. I collected topo maps.
As a kid.
Did a lot of backpacking in the mountains around Southern California. But map books for different states and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, as we rode the motorcycles, we used both GPS, and I love paper maps. GPS is great, but
When the batteries go bad.
Well, and sometimes Google sends you where you don't need to go, and you need to verify. You know, laminated paper maps are nice.
Yeah,
so
I've had Google, I guess it was Google Maps, get me wayward a couple of times.
Yeah.
It looked like it was a shortcut. Oh, my gosh, did we get lost. But today we're going to talk about some great places for people to make fall rides to see the spectacular color. And, again, the window of opportunity here is pretty short, and the colors are already changing. You've probably seen some of the photos that are floating around on social media these days. We don't want you to miss it, but this weekend will be a great weekend to get
perfect.
Away.
Yeah.
And Navi already talked about the fact, Navi had to sneak out, but Navi already talked about the fact that he was headed up to Sardine Canyon, which you just follow US 89, 91 from Brigham City North to Logan, about 25 miles up that canyon.
Yeah.
That stretch in the middle of that drive is probably one of the most beautiful sections I've been anywhere.
I agree. It's so full of it in so many ways all around you. You're right at the right altitude, and it's just all the different colors.
Well, and the road is good, too. You know, some of these others, when you talk about the Nebo Loop, you talk about the Alpine Loop, some of those you really have to pay attention to the roads, and this time of year it's bumper to bumper.
I refuse to go on the Alpine Loop on a motorcycle.
Scary.
It is.
And a lot of little switchbacks.
The road is narrow, it's slow, and the pavement drops off sometimes.
Yeah.
There's like a trench next to the pavement. And it's just dangerous, especially with a rider behind you.
In a car, if it's slow, you've got more time to look.
Yeah, you do.
A motorcycle, it's a little hairy. And if you're on a bit of an incline and then you've got a hairpin turn or something coming up and you have to get a little bit of speed, it can be a little shaky.
I think a Nebo Loop is really nice. For those that don't know about it, I believe you leave out of Payson and go up over Payson Lakes and things, and then you go up and make a turn around the pass and down onto, I can't think of the highway number, but it's a highway out of Nephi.
Yeah, if you come in from the south, you're on Utah 132 east of Nephi. But again, that's a good paved road.
That's a great drive.
Yeah.
ATV-wise, You know, I think the best one I've ever been on is up Monroe Mountain when we were on the ATVs.
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic.
We were up by the tower up
there
on the top.
All the way to the top. That is a great ride on an ATV, and you will be rewarded with some phenomenal color.
Yeah.
So I hear. You know, I realized I was talking to Navi about while we were in Fillmore this last weekend. We took and drove up the dirt roads to get quite a ways up into the mountains, and Chris is oohing and aahing over the colors, and I'm going, okay, they're not that beautiful, but okay. But I'm colorblind, and so my reds and browns and all that stuff's kind of mixed up.
That's why you wear the Garanimals with the giraffe on your collar and on your pants.
Yeah.
Mama sets them out for you. You don't have to go far from home to do this either.
No, you don't.
Big Cottonwood Canyon to Solitude, to Brighton. That's a good one. Big Cottonwood Canyon, of course. Little Cottonwood Canyon. But the Mirror Lake Highway shouldn't be underestimated either.
No, not at all.
30-mile stretch on Utah 150 takes you from Camas into the Wasatch Cache National Forest. Yeah. And then you've got others that are, you know, probably less driven down around Price, Castle Valley, in that area.
Yeah.
Skyline Drive makes the list here. By the way, I'm reading from Utah.com, and I think this is probably an article that was written a while ago, but it's become part of their regular information that's available.
Not much changes. Any of the feeders into Skyline Drive up through Huntington Lake, any of the things on either side, east or west, are just great.
We were talking last week about how great Highway 12 is, the all-American road.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, then you get the red rock plus some of the other colors that Mother Nature's throwing at you.
When you get further in, past Boulder, once you get past Boulder, you climb up, and there's some huge pullouts that just overlook so much of that forest, and all those colors are changing. It just has to be spectacular.
Yeah. I have put a link on our Facebook page. If you want to follow us there, just KSL Outdoors Radio. Take a look at it. It's Utah.com's listing of scenic drives, fall colors. You've got a short window of opportunity to do it, but if you've got some time in the next few weeks, hope you'll take advantage of it. It really is one of the reasons why we love living in Utah. We'll take a break. Got another news update on the half hour. Greg Paul will join us, and we'll find out what this next adventure of his includes as he heads back to one of his favorite parts of the world, and we've sort of been riding his coattails for how many years now?
Oh, wow. Lost track. Probably 6 or 8 years. 250 years now.
And twice up Everest, right?
Yeah.
Was it two or three times?
One summit. Three attempts.
So that conversation is coming up next. Don't go away.